Okay, we're going to get started back up. For those I haven't met, my name is Mark Petrie. I work for Perry covering the retail industry here at CIBC. And right now we're pleased to welcome Northwest Company to the stage. Northwest is the leading staples retailer in northern Canada and Alaska. Its purchase of Costiolus a little more than a year ago expanded the geography of the store network significantly and is an interesting potential growth vehicle for the company, along with Giant Tiger, for which it is the master franchisee for Western Canada. The core operations are rock solid and fund substantial cash distribution, and Costiolus and Giant Tiger offer more substantial growth down the road. 2009 marks 20 years for Edward with Northwest, having served as CEO for most of that time since 1997. Please join me in welcoming Edward Kennedy.
Thanks, Edward.
Thanks. Well, good afternoon. I'll leave that slide up for a few more seconds. You can all read it, and then we move on. So today, I'm going to assume people know more or less about Northwest, who we are, but do an overview of what our business is today. Talk about 2009 drivers as far as anyone can predict. And I think we may be able to predict more than most, given the kind of business we run and what we think is going to happen in 2009. And then talk about some of the longer-term building block work that's going on at Northwest. So a quick recap, our sales line is approximately $1.4 billion. We have 220 locations worldwide and 7,200 employees. And when you think of us, as I try to thread together strategically what we do, the word I use is community retailer. And what you have to keep in mind is that we're serving very, very small, diverse lifestyle, culture, norm, and belief type of markets that we don't enter very easily. Now, the exception would be perhaps Giant Tiger, although even some inner-city stores require a community citizen group approval. 90% of the other markets we open or enter require some type of community consensus. So there's a real strong view about the local store when it comes to town. And when you're there already, you're usually the largest economic and social entity. So the type of store we run reflects that. The stores tend to be quite decentralized, and we probably push more accountability down to the regional, the banner, and the local store manager level than any other retailer in terms of decision making, and that would include a corporate or franchise chain. And we're very flexible. I was thinking about this, and last week we had some bankers come up with us on a trip up north, and they weren't dressed warm enough, so they all froze, and that was another situation. But I think they wanted to freeze so they could experience the full north. The first store we got to, it was dark because there's no power in the community, and that's a reality. We have power outages. The infrastructure is second worldish. So we had to walk around in a half-dark store, and then we left. Well, the power didn't come on till 4 o'clock that afternoon, and the store stayed open till after midnight because it was welfare day. We have a lot of checks to cash, we have a lot of food to sell. And that's the kind of thing that we do in our communities. We're looking at an acquisition right now on a Caribbean island where the family-owned chain is very proud, multi-generational. All the staff have uniforms. That's not unusual. We're not talking about vests. These are our Pan Am flight attendant uniforms, circa 1965. And we're going to keep them. We're going to keep the name of the store if we do the transaction, because that's what counts. That's the local community flavor of the store. So to give you a sense of the way we work, it's very multi-local. We're not really a Canadian retailer. We look at regions, and we look at locations one at a time. As far as our base goes, we range from 50% food in Giant Tiger stores to 80% plus at Costiolus. So food comes first overall. Giant Tiger's position is a little bit different. Food draws traffic and completes the shop, but fashion is where the money is made. Our growth is on the hierarchy of everyday needs. We keep coming back to food, keep rounding out our food assortment, and I'll come back to that as well. But we also look at things like fuel, like pharmacy, which is now getting more traction, and financial services. So if we can do things that people naturally look for from their local store, that's our first choice, and that's where we put our energy and our selling space. In that big scheme, general merchandise is a very opportunistic play for us. And we've just come off a very robust selling season in Alaska and before that in northern Canada. in general merchandise, driven entirely by some very unusual income flows to our shoppers. And when that happens, when the sun shines, we make hay. Our customers, when they have that money, they're necessity impulse shoppers, they spend all of it. And it's very important that we're ready for that business. When it's not there, it's not really a business that we want to do. We're very fine going after the other local shopping categories and leaving the GM to wait for better days. And we're kind of in that mode right now going into to 2009. So when you look at the stores that are serve those kind of markets, they're really junior versions of a big box store of some kind. So the Cost-U-Less stores would be about a quarter the size of a Costco, a Giant Tiger about the same vis-a-vis a Walmart, and allows us to be a convenience store and hopefully more than a convenience store. But that's the implication of running the kind of stores we have. They tend to be smaller, and they match up with the size of markets that we serve. Now, the way we're set up today in Canada and the way we segment geographically, we have 146 stores in northern Canada. Northern is the store banner that was sort of the core business we bought from the Bay in 1987, and these are the most remote, rural, general-type stores. Northmart serves regional centers. It has an expanded assortment of higher skill set selling categories like fashion and pharmacy. And then Quickstop is our convenience store brand. In Western Canada, our major banner is Giant Tiger, and that's the junior discount store offering that we have in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta. In Manitoba, we also have Value Lots, which is a discount food, pharmacy, and clearance store, and we're now testing a couple of banners that we call Solo, and that's, we have different gradations of ruralness. In rural stores that are road accessible, we're trying to reinvent the way the small town store works today, and we're putting in pharmacies and post offices, and certainly downskewing the general merchandise, adding fuel, and we're rolling up under the name Solo. Our international division starts with Alaska. That was our first foray internationally more than 15 years ago now. And the store banner there is AC Value Center. That's the major one. We've kept that banner, although the decor package, when you walk in an AC Value store, will look like either a Northern or a Northmart, depending on the size of store and the size of the community. PAW is Pacific Alaska Wholesale. That's our new consolidated entity. We acquired a wholesale company called Span Alaska last February. We had one of our own called Frontier Expediting, and we've now merged them under Pacific Alaska Wholesale. And they are the largest wholesaler to independent, largely food store, but general store type accounts in rural Alaska. The most recent addition to our store mix is in the South Pacific and the Caribbean. We completed last December the acquisition of Cost-U-Less. We have 12 stores under that banner. The seven in the South Pacific, we have two in Hawaii, a couple in Guam, Fiji, American Samoa, and we're opening a new banner called Island Fresh. And what we're doing here is trying to take a multi-pronged approach. When we look at these island communities, we certainly see the warehouse store opportunity, but we also see a supermarket opportunity. And to leverage the scale of logistics, field supervision, and our general community relations, or often country relations, that we've built up, we think we can do both. Time will tell, and that Island Fresh store is going to open at the beginning of May. In the Caribbean, we're in Grand Cayman, the USVI, St. Thomas, St. Croix, Curaçao, and St. Martin. And there again, we're in the early stages. The first year of our acquisition was very much learning exactly what we bought, taking the costs that we thought could come out of the business, which they did, and really ensuring that we had a stable platform for growth, and I'll come back to that as well. When we look at growth, a big part of Northwest is same-store growth. We don't tend to add a lot of stores. We do tuck in acquisitions, but we really try to drive our business off those hierarchy of everyday needs. So we start with food, making sure we got our food business fixed and firm and growing. We like the fact that, and we're just validating again, or finding out what it is, and it appears as we do our longer-term planning cycle this year that we're still looking at population growth trends, net of out-migration, in-migration, that are 1.5 to 2 times the Canadian and U.S. averages. So that's encouraging. And the aging demographic, which is inevitable, is still tracking, not surprisingly, about 10 years behind the rest of North America. So we have a young, still relatively fast-growing population and the right ingredients for a healthy food business. And in that kind of a marketplace, given the logistics and general remoteness of the communities that we serve, they tend to be underserved from a retail perspective. And that's why we add the product and services that we do. You know, you would not expect to have the breadth of financial services from income tax preparation to money cards that we sell in a mainline supermarket. But because no one else does that or does it very well locally, we can enter that space. And the same with cell phones as a reseller or income tax preparation. People strength, we think that's a key advantage. It is for most organizations. I'll give you some metrics on that. You took our top 50 managers, their average tenure is 13 years, and that's a combination of 5 and 20 and people that are new to the business from different store format backgrounds, combined with folks that have grown up through our store network in the north or in the Costulus banner and have all come together. So we're very happy that we have the depth at both the senior VP, VP, and director levels. Our managers, we consider them to be very strong entrepreneurs. When you're decentralized and you're having people drive businesses that are very local, they have to be not only empowered but accountable to drive that business. We have very, very aggressive profit sharing and business sustaining incentive plans that weight the manager to keeping what they have but also growing above it. We find managers from all over. Big box store managers take about a year to deprogram, but once they're deprogrammed, they're good because they've run stores and now they have the freedom to do what they really want to do. And they're passionate about what we call community retailing. The complexity of doing the things I'm talking about is not for everyone, but if you see the advantage of living in a small community, of being on the stage in the sense that you're a big player economically, and that motivates you, you're in the right place at Northwest. Turning to our financial strength, even though we're an income trust, we have the discipline, and we pay out about half of our cash flow, we still maintained a fair degree of financial strength and flexibility. So when you look at these metrics, they would compare favorably with most of the retailers in North America. So we're not terribly concerned with some leverage, even in times like today. We think our business risk is commensurate with a little more financial risk. And these kind of coverage ratios are very comfortable for us and could be even a bit lower, we feel. The one that I'm pointing out here on sustaining CapEx is a little bit different from what you've maybe been used to seeing, but I just put it on because we've seen income trust cut CapEx, even sustaining CapEx, to keep distribution. You'll never see us do that because we don't have the CapEx. If we don't sustain the CapEx, sustain the business, there are no distributions in the medium term, never mind the long term. Now, we're not in a position to cut distributions. We don't have to, but our philosophy is we have to grow and sustain what we have to generate the distributions, not somehow the other way around. Looking at our financial efficiency, again, I'd say part of it is the trust structure nature, but even before that, and even after this is over, this 10-year party we've had as an income trust, we're going to be a high dividend paying company. Corporate structure, and will continue to drive financial efficiency. And when you only retain half your cash flow for growth and sustaining, you try to be very efficient, and we've done a number of things on the inventory front. We look hard at investments. Our paybacks are probably a little higher than some companies would have. We still do seed ideas for growth, and I think Costulus is an example of that, where we didn't bet the farm. It's been highly accretive thanks to low variable rates, but it still would have been accretive. And now we'll learn about that marketplace and set a long-term path and still drive our asset efficiency. Now, I'll point out the POP one is aided by different iterations of our income trust partnership structure. So that's the federal government helping us. But the RONA, the bottom line, is what we've achieved. Financial performance, we've been consistently able to improve our business. Not a lot of deviations on the downside, and we are in uncharted territory now, and I'll certainly come back to that. But just to show you so far the way we've been viewed as far as total returns, last year's would have been -7 net of our yield compared to the general market and retail market, which I don't have to stay on for much longer. You all know it. 2009 drivers. So how do we look at the year ahead? and then what's going to happen beyond. The two things I'm going to talk about besides the external environment is food and productivity. Those are the current themes in our business. It's not going to be general merchandise. It's not going to be discretionary income we're going after. It's going to be our core food business getting more efficient within an environment that I'll go on a limb and say is probably more predictable for us than most retailers. We do not have a lot of consumers that are affected by unemployment. They are in situations where they're seasonally or partially employed, lower income earners, or they're in government sector roles in service occupations in the north. So when we look at the situation ahead of us, one big one is energy. Right now, we've got shoppers in northern Canada, in Alaska, who are heating their homes with diesel bought at $120 last year, and utilities providing them with electricity at $120. So until we cycle through to mid-year and we have resupply into those markets, we are going to see a very constrained shopper, not spending a lot of money on general merchandise, but still spending money on food. In the cost-less markets, they've cycled through their fuel on the islands. Again, it's all diesel-generated power, and they're now starting to, we're starting to see rate reductions tied to the world price of fuel. So as long as energy doesn't go back up to 120, I can predict that our shoppers will get a bit of a pay increase income-wise in the second half of the year. We'll lose about $5 million in top-line sales because our business will deflate. That freight won't be there anymore. Our customers will hopefully spend it in our stores and stuff we can sell them. It won't affect our bottom line. Our margins will actually improve in that scenario. Mineral development drop-off, that's pretty predictable. It's almost zero in our markets. It's worth about $10 million at the top line. When we look at all the different pockets of growth we had last year, development camps in the north, people working seasonally in these camps, the resupply for them. They're tough to find when they were, when we had them all, but when it's on the way out, the managers are very forthcoming in telling us where they don't have the business anymore. So we know that, and it's not going to change, because even if the market miraculously changes in some way, the staging point and the shovel readiness of these projects is now. We're in the shipping business, and we need the freight on our boats by early June, and it's just not going to happen. And that leads to my next point. There will be some infrastructure spending incrementally into the north. It's a big, big part of incremental spending, but you've got to be ready very, very soon. And realistically, that's not going to happen. We're not going to see a lot of public sector spending over and above. There's no time for that to be mobilized. One example, we have 10 more days, and then the winter roads are going to be closed down for about 50 northern communities in Saskatchewan, Ontario, Manitoba, and Northwest Territory. So any ideas of sewer and water plants, schools, nursing stations, et cetera, will have to wait to 2010. Housing as well. It's not a dire picture. We do expect higher housing spending, but what it looks like to us is that 2010 will be a very, very busy year and a very healthy year for us in terms of incremental income in the north. So as I've mentioned, we see a stable food business. It's a core everyday shopping need, of course. We're well positioned to meet that need. We've got some initiatives to solidify it, and our trend so far suggests that we're correct on that. We also think that on the discount side of our business, at Cost-U-Less and GT, we're in a good position. And that's kind of the conventional thinking of people trading down. We're seeing it more now post-Christmas, and it's still early. Our markets are not Ontario, Quebec, and most of our Giant Tiger stores are in Manitoba, Saskatchewan. Probably the least affected so far. Psychologically, they are, though, and we are seeing some real traction in terms of the food business. And in Cost-U-Less, we index at 25% below the competition in most islands, and we are seeing people come to shop. With tourism being hit hard, the food business has been quite robust. So we think we've got a couple things going there on the discount side that we didn't have, certainly in 2008. Just turning to food, store brands, and build the basket. Behind store brands, give you a quick overview. We've come a long ways thanks to collaboration with Giant Tiger stores. It's something that we fooled around with for a number of years. Giant Tiger wasn't a big adherent of it initially, and it didn't really seem to matter. Now it does. They're behind it, and we're behind it. So we have a three-tier structure, and we also have some other unique brands that we've introduced. Most of the activity in our business, especially our northern business, And Giant Tiger is at the best value end of the spectrum. And another picture of the profile we have, or a assortment mix. What we're targeting here is up to 450 SKUs in our store brand family by year end. Not a lot compared to other retailers you might have heard from today that are in the thousands. But when you consider that we're only carrying a couple thousand SKUs in our Giant Tiger stores and maybe 3,500 to 4,000 that really matter in our northern business, the penetration rate is at a minimum in the 25% range. If you look at the right-hand side there, some of our deli products, our deli business today tracks at about 80% store brands in our northern business. So once we convert people, we start to take those national brands off the shelf. There's some shielding going on, but space is too precious for that. It's a big win from a cost savings to us and for our shoppers. What Build the Basket is about is getting back to it. If you're going to have a food focus, and really live by that, because there's not a lot of discretionary money for general merchandise, you've got to be ready on the money days. And in our markets, that's twice a month. It could be a food stamp day in Hawaii. It could be the child benefit payment day mid-month in Canada, or social assistance. So having the right promotions on those days so that money doesn't leak out of town or to a big box store is very important. And we're doing things in the north that are not, I'd say they're conventional. We're rewarding our shopper for spending $200 as opposed to just cashing their social assistance check and hoping that we get the business. And we're carefully tracking how much of that full basket business we do get. In Giant Tiger, the goal is to expand in the shop. It's a fine line between being a convenience store and a convenience store. When it comes to food at Giant Tiger, we don't want to be just a convenience store. We want to be a convenient food shopping store that fills the basket. And for Giant Tiger, it means being bigger in areas like produce and bakery. In Cost You Less, what we've found as we've looked at the stores that there's strength in meat. It's a signature department. Produce is so-so, and bakery and deli are almost non-existent. So one of our plans this year is to go full force into the bakery deli side of the business and really shore up the produce side and leverage the brand appeal that we have through our strong meat department. Productivity. The second key focus in 2009, we have $6 million of CapEx going into energy. Even at $50 oil, it's still a payback for us. We're going to relamp all of our Cost You Less stores. We're going to put in major refrigeration upgrades to the north using heat reclaim systems to recycle heat to heat the store from the refrigeration, and generally focus on the most leading-edge refrigeration to cut the cost of that part of our business. In inventory, we made strides this year in Northern Canada. We took about 9% of our average inventory out in general merchandise. We expect to do the same again in Northern Canada and also move that into Alaska. In distribution, we are now consolidating. The last major synergy gain that we see with our Costless acquisition is to go from 4 DCs down to 1.5 in the Seattle Anchorage channel. So we're going to put a new DC into Seattle, downsize our Alaska DC, close our wholesale business DC, and achieve the last big chunk of cost savings there. We're also going to open a third-party warehouse by mid-year in Edmonton. We had basically a mistake in Calgary, not a very well-run third-party warehouse. Now we have people who do it for a living who are going to do this for us, and that'll help set up our distribution for a further GT growth and Northwest Northern growth. And finally, on the people side, one thing Northwest has done well is we've had very strong improvements in sales per labor hour. We see that continuing. It's a tough year to wring more out with minimum wage increases. But overall, if we look at Alberta specifically and further north, there are more people staying and working with you, and it's the kind of year that you can start to build in it a productive employee base as opposed to dealing with turnover all the time. Okay. In terms of longer-term work, like other retailers, I hope they're taking advantage, as we are, on recruiting for growth. And when it's tough to find people, even in the best of times, to come to the north or even to the far south to work with you, this is the chance. We're seeing more people come to our door or through our website looking for opportunities, and the quality is exceptional. We're not trying to get them on the rebound so they go back to Fort McMurray when the things boom again. But we are seeing great people, both in those roles and for head office positions. Our new product service ideas, some of the ones that I'll mention today, We're going to be testing in the north a house in a box idea. It's a ready-made store in a container, or box, or a house in a container that we can build into the north. If the government spending kicks in, we think we have a solution for the cost of house building in many communities. Tuck-in acquisitions, we're starting to see more of those, especially in Alaska, where we've built a lot of our store network through tuck-ins. The multiples are not down as far as we'd like them to go, but there are more independent store owners showing up looking to sell their businesses. And they're not in financial distress. These are food stores typically that are well-run. They're in a duopoly situation, one or two stores in the local town, and they've been in the family for maybe one or two generations, and there's no one else to run the business. So in that kind of a scenario, we expect we'll be busier than we have been in the past, and that'll have some CapEx implications, but also some growth opportunities. GT site opportunities. This is another big one for us because Alberta has been a bit of a big chill for Giant Tiger expansion. We hit the ground running in Manitoba. We liked Saskatchewan, and we didn't like Alberta. Rent was high. People didn't show up for work in retail, and no one seemed to need a Giant Tiger store. The economy was too strong. Now we're starting to see more sites presented than ever before in Edmonton and Calgary, and we're going to take advantage of that. We're not really, I don't know if it's shovel ready, we're not really ready to open a lot of Giant Tiger stores. We haven't recruited people for a big expansion in 2009, as we were caught off guard by the downturn in that respect. But if we see these sites presented, we'll certainly look at ramping up our growth in 2010. And finally, there's our cull expansion strategy. And here, we're also one of the pleasant surprises of the acquisition was being presented with many more opportunities for growth in the Caribbean. Both tuck under acquisitions, very large ones, of multi-chain, multi-store family businesses, as well as greenfield warehouse stores. One country I can tell you about and disclose to you that's been in the media for a while is Barbados, and we've worked with the government there now for almost a year on the right economic situation to do a greenfield store in Barbados. And I think in the next 3 to 4 months we'll decide whether to build a store in that country. So that pretty much sizes it up. I would say that when you're thinking of Northwest in 2009, you can take to the bank that the general merchandise business will be softer. It has to be. There's just not enough money.